Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, welcome to the Tech Point Africa podcast. My name is Muiwa.
I'm Oluwani Femi.
I'm Emmanuel.
And I'm Chimgwaturi.
How are you guys doing?
I'm not fine. I'm not fine.
Well, I can guess why.
Okay, backstory, right? The whole of the editorial team, or majority of the editorial team that have been working remotely from Ife for the past 1 year, we are all relocating back to Lagos and we've been house hunting. And it's been very, very tiring. I don't know. I can't, my mind is not processing the gravity of what I'm doing, but it is revolting. My body is revolting mentally. I'm stressed already and I'm not even close to getting a place. Oh my God,
It's been stressful.
They call it an extreme sport, but I don't think it's a sport at all. It's like a gladiator fight.
Endurance challenge.
It is. I can't wait to get this over with.
It's crazy. I think you're having similar experiences, I'm guessing. Or no, not.
Well. I am. And I refuse to be stressed. My God, pass them. I think I'm coming to the end of the process. Hopefully that process ends in like a couple of days. But it's been very, very stressful. I think I can understand why people in Lagos are like...
angry.
Always on edge.
When you've done all that, why won't you shout in the first person?
I can't blame them.
And they still enter traffic.
Can't blame them.
And they know the anyhowness.
Right. And the worst part is that agents are taking you to houses that are very annoying, because if you come out of that house every day, you will not be angry. Those houses are horrible.
And when they see, they say, there's one house in so and so place. You will like it.
Until you get there and you meet rubbish. And most of the time, it just comes to my mind, like, what can solve this problem? It's one thing that, you won't want to be looking for an apartment every other year. But once you have to do it, it's very hard. Then you think, who can solve this, right? And it seems like a coincidence that earlier this week, a PropTech startup that actually focuses on rentals, raised $625,000 pre-seed. Right after getting it to an accelerator program,
Which accelerator program did they get?
MetaProp VC.
Ah, cool.
Yes, they announced getting to the accelerator sometimes last year, and they just graduated, and they got other investors like VFD Group, the one we know that has a bank.
VFD Group
was one of the investors, and Future Africa also participated in the investment. And
Gbenga also was one of the investors.
Yes.
Gbenga GBO is always on the
right. Everybody's captive.
Right. Yes. Let Nigerians be helping themselves. It's nice, right? But split as it were. There was an argument.
What did they do first of all?
Yes.
For people that have never heard of them.
Okay, Split is a PropTech platform that lists apartments and houses, right? Okay. That you can rent on a short period, like short let. Then you can rent it for like a month, like a week. But their proposition is that since you earn monthly,
you should be able to pay rent monthly.
Yes, you should be able to pay monthly. Mm-hmm. Rent monthly, so they expect Nigerians or Africans to be able to afford their rent and pay it as they get
because
salaries.
It's very important to say that Nigeria is probably the only country in the world. Okay, let me say in Africa. I'm not sure about in the world, but I think in the world where you pay rent annually.
Oh, I thought that was like a general thing in Africa.
Oh, no. I mean, Emmanuel, you're in Nairobi recently.
Yeah.
Rent is collected monthly.
Yeah, monthly.
In Accra too, the same thing. Like, Nigeria is the only place I know that that rent is paid annually. Like, the only place I know in the world.
And maybe we should understand with house owners, so landlords, because the risk is higher with monthly payments, right? And they might not want to be chasing you for 12 months for 12 times in a year compared to chasing you once to pay your money.
So the way I know it's done in most places, like in the US and Accra and all those places, so you usually end up paying like 3 months in advance. The first one, is for like your salary for that month. The other one is sort of like a deposit.
Yes.
And then the third one is the agent fee or something like that. So usually that one that is a deposit, you get it back when you are leaving.
Yes, it's done in Benin Republic. Uh-huh. So you pay for 3 months. So after every month, you keep paying 1 month, right? So for that 3 months, it's to help you when you want to leave that house to go and rent another apartment. So it is refundable.
Exactly.
By the time you tell them you are leaving, they will give you that 3 month rent so that you can rent another place. But you keep paying monthly your rent, right? Mm-hmm. And Lagos State actually thought about this because it seems the problem is worse in Lagos.
Yeah.
And there's a tenancy law that compels landlord not to collect more than 1 year salary in Lagos.
Nobody's following that.
Right. So
as we can all attest.
Yes, as we can, because we meant one landlord during this search that actually asked for 1.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Payment.
So money to complete the house.
Yeah. Most of the time that is the case, right? So Lagos State thought about it and felt, how do we help these landlords, interested ones, that is, and they came up with a scheme, and the government funded it. I think it's a 5 billion naira funded scheme.
Okay.
Yes. So it's supposed to start at the beginning of this year, but we don't know the progress of it yet. So interested landlords will register with the scheme, right? So this is the way it will work. When a landlord registers with under the scheme, when a tenant wants to rent an apartment, the government pay the landlord the lump sum, right, of that rent, and then subsequent payment will come from the person that rented the apartment. I don't know how that is going at this time, but it seems reasonable. But still, it seems like it doesn't look like what landlords would want to do if I'm a landlord in Lagos State, right? It might not be what I would do because trust in the government, right? It might, trust in the government might be a reason why I won't do that. But it seems like the best shot you can do to avoid what agents do with your apartment, because in this search we found out an agent actually added up to 65,000 naira on the total amount somebody is supposed to pay without the knowledge of the landlord.
Imagine. Yeah, they do that.
Right.
Because usually there are so many agents.
I'm seeing
air quotes. So many agents sharing the booty, so they are trying to increase how much they end up.
Exactly. That is so unfair. It is enough that the rent is high, and I don't know. I'm frustrated. People, if you can hear me, I need an apartment.
Sorry. But then that's what Split is trying to solve, right?
Yes.
I'm guessing.
So
and that's
why
they got the money they raised.
Yes, and for over 2 years that they've been running, they've been trying to do this. But what they now want to do now is add a buy now, rent now, pay later.
Okay, so they are going from helping people to pay rent monthly, although I've checked the site before and the prices are like crazy.
They are premium.
So what they are now doing now is rent now, pay later. So does that help like this issue of affordability?
In my own opinion, I don't think it is. It does, right? It's still the same amount. It just helps you spread it over a number of weeks to sort out, right?
Is there interest on top of it?
No, that was not stated in
the primary interest.
Yes.
That makes it, that means it's more, even more expensive.
Exactly, like, but we've seen like several buy now pay later features coming up, mm-hmm. or like all what a startup is doing is buy now pay later, and it's not easy doing well in that space, right? One thing is that the credit capacity of or the credit culture of Africans is low, right? They don't mm-hmm. want to pay back. Even when your friend, a friend of yours, borrows money from you, they don't want to pay back to start with, mm-hmm. right? So that is the kind of...
So the thing is, split is, I think what they're trying to do, apart from doing the rent now pay later scheme, they want to help landlord vet tenants. So it seems they have a pool of vetted tenants that are looking for houses. So okay. what happens is with that their scheme, the initial scheme they brought of paying rent monthly, a lot of landlords were not willing to list their apartments. They wanted their money up front. Even though those houses were expensive, I mean, the list I saw on the website yesterday was about 100,000 there.
Monthly.
Per month.
Yeah.
That amounts to like 1.2 million. Is this a second, a two bedroom flat or a mini flat or
a single room?
A single room.
Yeah, but everything is furnished. And
one room.
Yeah, but furnished. It's furnished.
Yeah. Service apartment.
Not 100K. Almost 170,000 naira.
Per month.
Per month. Yeah. So when I totaled it in a year, it's about 2 million naira. How many people earn that in Nigeria, right? So about
2 million naira.
Yes.
For one room.
Yeah. So and the landlords were not even willing to even list the platforms on, I mean, their houses on the platform. So they now had more tenants who were willing to, they vetted a lot of tenants
than the landlords.
So what they are now trying to do is to give this, like what Lagos State wants to do, mm-hmm. they give the landlords.
So they're kind of competing with the Lagos State government.
No, we can't really say that, but yeah, they want to try and give the landlord the money on one side, then the tenants now pay back.
So definitely there will be interest. So yeah. that means they are kind of changing their business model, I'm guessing.
Yes, they are now into housing financing.
Housing financing.
So, but they're not the only ones playing in this space. There's Quabba, there's Fiber.ng. Mm.
So I'm guessing they probably seen, Ifemi, you did an article on why, we'll try and link to it,
right.
And why prop tech startups cannot really solve the problem now. So I'm guessing that what they've noticed is that they can't control the supply of quality house. They can't control the quality and the supply of the apartments. Right. So rather than say they are providing you fully furnished spaces and whatnot.
Premium.
Right now, they're just providing you finance. You go and look for the house. Kind of what's like Quabba that you mentioned, those,
yeah,
right?
Quabba, yeah.
So they're kind of.
But they will still keep listing.
They'll keep listing.
Or they'll keep listing.
Yes.
They'll still keep inventory.
Yes. Yes.
Of apartments.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So like they'll be combining both. Hmm.
More like okay. that.
Or is that option just open to only people who rent houses on the platform?
It will be, because they vetted the landlords and they vetted people that want to take the houses. So you can't just go out and get a place. What if the landlord doesn't want you to pay monthly?
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if they will have landlords, house owners that have registered on their platforms.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be easier. It's just like, okay, they are paying monthly, right?
Yeah.
Split pays the landlord that month's payment. If I want to rent that apartment, I can't pay the lump sum once.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I want to be paying weekly. Mm-hmm. That is what I'll be paying back to Split. So I think they are still limited to houses or apartments that are listed on their platform.
Yeah,
so that they
no
can
option.
Control. Yes.
Yeah, there's no option to go and look for your own house. Yeah.
That's so many moving parts.
Exactly.
I really like to know how I think you should interview them again.
Right.
I really like to know how this works, because that's so many moving parts.
Yes.
How do you control?
Housing problem has to be solved one way or the other. This is too much.
Yeah, I can tell
somebody
you.
Somebody has to solve it.
It's going to cost a lot.
Right. We had a startup idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not willing to go into it, but I'm just throwing it out there.
Okay.
Right? But it will require a lot of fund, right? For someone, the startup will have to circumvent all these agents.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. So the other starts with building housing units, mm-hmm. right? Because that was what I what was proposed in the article Miliwa mentioned the other time,
mm-hmm.
when there is supply, right, then you'll be able to control.
Isn't that what Enterprise 54, what's it called again? Enterprise Hotel,
yeah.
Is that not what they're doing?
Not really. It's just commercial properties like hotels, although they plan to like get into that later.
Oh,
but
okay.
they are focused on commercial properties for
Now. but they build like unless I'm not getting the family, they
build
the actual
housing units so housing units. They can circumvent all the agents and just rent it out like that, so they can be able to control when the tenants pay monthly or they pay annually, so they can be able to
that
control
a lot
that
of startup capital, like initial capital.
A lot, but
I still think
Enterprise Hotel,
what they are doing I think is interesting, because not only are they of course they have the money to build all of that,
mm-hmm.
but then they've realized that it might be harder to
build for residential
and do it, so they focus on commercial
because
commercial will always generate revenue every day, but then that doesn't solve Nifemi's problem.
The problem is
it only solves an investor's problem.
We have like a serious housing deficit in Africa,
mm-hmm.
and Nigeria is like the headquarters of that. So if you're going to solve that problem as a startup, I don't know.
You need a lot of
money if you want to do that.
Or maybe let's say, how about this aggressive marketing? You are telling the landlords that you are the one-stop agent, the agents to
exactly. That's being an aggregator, like AGG for agents or for landlords.
Yes, just landlords, not agents.
Yeah, for landlords. Because so you come there and if I'm a landlord and I send. I allow like 20-50 agents to sell my house, for lack of a better word. I guess the idea is to get the house on the market as soon as possible and get it rented out as soon as possible.
Yeah.
But if you know that your house, because the problem is there's a housing deficit and I'm hearing people saying it takes them 6 months. The houses are not enough, so why is it taking you that long to find a house? So the problem is no longer just supply, it's also quality of that supply. How do we, there was a house we saw, I think it was Chris, I saw the house and
no, go ahead. That house,
you can't even use it for poultry. That's how bad it is. So of course an agent will take you there, and they might take you to like three of those houses
and I'll tell you like it
exactly like what do you take me for when you say I like it. So that's the problem. If we have poor quality of houses,
then
affordability,
poor quality of houses and affordability, then you have to deal with cultural biases.
Yeah,
where people don't want
I don't want this particular.
I don't want this tribe. I don't want this.
I don't want single people.
I don't want ladies.
I think I saw someone that said the landlord said, they can't rent to you if you're not white. Like you're Nigerian, you're telling me you can't rent to.
Oh wow!
You can't rent to Nigerian.
So even in my country, I can't.
No wait, if you're not white, like a white man, or you are not yellow,
you're not white.
That is crazy, man. So long and short, what we're saying now is the 625k that split raise is small money. Like it's barely moving the needle.
Not even a drop in the ocean.
Right, it's very very little. But that's why they are starting from this point that they are.
But what did they say they are going to use the money for again? To expand and to push the new model?
Yes, the new model.
Now, pay later model.
625, convert that to Naira. What's that? What much is that? Did anybody do the conversion?
It didn't.
Because I'm trying to imagine how many houses, how many people they will finance and...
Well, so far they said they've already recorded over $10,000 worth of requests. So that's
260.
That's very big figures.
260 million naira.
260 million naira.
Yeah. Mm. One house in Lekki.
Okay.
And if you're renting houses
at the
2 million they say they're renting out at, we're talking about a couple...
Probably less than 100 people.
100 houses. Yeah, 100. Houses.
Eventually, if there's turnover.
But it's going to take a while to...
It's monthly.
Yes, they pay back monthly, yes. You're getting your interest, but it's going to take is a long period to recoup.
The capital. I don't think so.
Because they are paying monthly.
Yes, you pay it to the landlord, right?
But you're probably paying to the landlord annually.
Oh. Yeah, I guess it makes the payment
because most landlords will demand annual rent. Mm. So they are dealing with their customers collecting monthly rent, but they've paid
the landlord.
Okay, turnover might take long then.
So 625k. Again, let's not be conclusive.
We like to. If you reach out to him, possibly if he would be interested in coming to the podcast.
I'm
interested in that.
So speaking of rent now, pay later, and then let's move to buy now, pay later, right? So there's a buy now pay later startup that raised like two
there's like a, I think every day you'd see at least one buy now pay later startup raising money.
Yeah.
So this week we've had Soko Watch raise money. Ideally it's an e-commerce startup, but they are now launching a buy now pay later option for the merchants on their platform. So the idea is that they are financing the financing stock for their merchants. So if you want stock of like 100,000 naira but you don't have 100,000 naira, they could give you goods. So I don't know like the details of how they're going to do it, but what some of their competitors are doing is they're not giving you money, they're giving you the goods. What 100,000 naira. So what you now do is you sell and you pay, and basically it's not exactly a novel concept. It's something that people have been doing. So I sell goods to you, and then you pay me back whenever you sell. So
I mean that's how big chains like ShopRite and the whatnot do it. They don't pay upfront.
Yeah, they've been doing that for a very long time. So now they're just, I guess, putting the e-commerce to it. But so it's something that I'm very interested in. 80% of household retail in Africa is done with these SMEs. It's nobody. Forget the people you see in what's the name again? Big malls and all.
Yeah.
80% of us get our products from the shop close to you.
Yeah, informal, the roadside malam.
If you're in Nigeria, you know those women or the malam. Mm. If you're in South Africa, then you know the spaza shops that everyone gets their products from. Mm-hmm. So if they are serving the bulk of the market, then I think it makes more sense to serve them. Mm-hmm. So it's
how much
not,
you say they raised again?
I think there is let's confirm. They raised over 100 million. That's like the second 100 million plus round that we are seeing.
125 million.
So that's a lot of money actually.
Mm.
That's a lot of money. So the idea is that they help you like get what you want when you want it. So
but they are focused on B2B.
B2B, yes. It's not
it's harder to do it B2C. You're going to worry about defaults.
Yeah, rates, so
and it's those goods are perishable to an extent, right?
Yeah.
I think they supply all kinds of goods.
Oh, not just perishable.
They didn't go into detail, but some of them. So the problem is going, I mean, some people are doing B2C, and more the best to them, sure, but
many of them have pivoted silently. I'm not going to mention names.
Yeah.
I think we should try to understand them.
There's nothing to understand.
It's a market that has a valid problem. So right?
Yeah, but you've made a lot of noise and made a lot of promises.
Right.
And
so the fact that a market has that there's a market that has a problem does not mean that they are willing to pay, or that they're even able to pay, which are like the two most important things. So it's like the problem that Split is solving. So you want me to pay, you want to offer me rent now, pay later option. And the house on your platform is 2 million naira. And my annual salary is 700,000 naira.
Okay. Yeah.
There's no rent now, pay later that will solve that problem.
Yeah.
Like, why do I have to pay rent for like my 2 year salary still doesn't cover what you're offering me.
In 1 year.
And that's assuming I do not spend a cent from what I make.
You're basically working for the landlord now.
Right.
You're not even working for the landlord. You're working for everybody. You're working for the startup. You're working for the landlord. You're like, what are you living for again?
Right. So, but there are some people that are getting this vinyl pelleter right, and they are doing B2C. It's, right.
Yeah.
It was last year that I interviewed the founder of CDK.
Yeah, CDK.
Yes, saving lives. Saving lives.
They're saving a lot of lives.
Yeah, saving lives.
This is not a paid mention.
It is not. If you come to my kitchen, you will see these gadgets and equipment. I got it from CDK without having to break a bank.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm paying not through my nose juice, right? Yeah. I'm paying with convenience, yeah. Right? But it's usually advisable when you have a regular stream of income. Right, but I was inquisitive during a conversation about how this is very risky. It is very risky, no matter how the way we want to put it, it's risky. And yes, he agrees. Oluwatobi Odukoya agrees, is the CEO of CDK. He agrees that it is risky, but they have a way around it, right? So this is the way they get payment for items on their platform, depending on the tenure you pick, like maybe 2 months or 4 months or 6 months, mm-hmm. immediately you get to the half of your payment. If it's a 2 month payment, immediately you pay the first installment, your goods get shipped to you and you get it, then you pay up. But what he says they try to do about that is giving a temporary receipt, mm-hmm. right, or invoice. Receipt.
Yeah, temporary.
Which means that... And with a caveat, they will have a caveat on the receipts that this product is not yet yours, it's still the property of CDK. So if you are defaulting, they can, in their good right, come to your house and carry that product.
Or they come with police.
So he actually gave two scenarios, a simpler one and a very complicated one of, I think, iPhone 12. And that person bought one iPhone 12 on the platform and defaulted. Person picked 2 months and defaulted. Then he came back again with another profile to come and order another one, right? Then this was how they found out. When he took delivery of it, they checked the signature of that one and of before from the delivery agent they used. That was how they were able to track him. They were able to get their
iPhone yeah, back.
Yes, with the use of EFCC agents, of course.
Interesting.
Right? But there are some people, they just walk to their house and those people trying to avoid disgrace and something like that. They just tell them, okay, carry your product. When we have the money, we'll come and collect it back. Right? But it's still risky, but that's a good way to mitigate against the risks. But they are really going all out for it.
But you know, the fact that depending on the tenure of your buy now pay later, so if it's 6 months,
yes.
you get your product after you have paid
for three months. Right?
Is that someone who do that is probably serious?
Yes, about committed.
Yeah, about getting the product.
Yes, you get, maybe
the 2 month own is something that maybe I wouldn't want to say this because I've used the 2 month tenure a lot.
Right. Yeah, for the small ticket items.
Yeah, maybe there should be a threshold where. After a certain higher amount, you can't the minimum you can do is 4 months. So pay for 2 months, get it after 2 months, and then pay the remaining 2 months while you're enjoying the product.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So an iPhone 12, 2 month tenure.
Yes.
Except you earn about the same amount as the iPhone costs, then I guess that's fine.
Yeah, but then that means they will have to hook up to your bank account and check your
and they don't do that.
There are startups that enable that now. Mono and
API fintech.
Require have to get permission or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's another option to that or another side to that. So on one hand they are helping customers. So the idea of buy now pay later is for the merchants, you expand your market. So people who may not have been able to afford your services or your products, they can now afford it. So it's good for you because you have a larger market to attend to. And for the customers, it also means you get to have products that you would not have ordinarily purchased or that you might have spent longer to get it. But then there's this saying that there's no free lunch anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
So someone has to be financing that lifestyle.
Yeah.
So I know we are Nigerians. So a lot of them do this no interest rates.
Yeah, CDK is no interest.
Yeah, CDK is no interest.
But some other ones have
CDK has actually added one new feature where you pay for 3 months, but you get it after the first payment. But you have a 5% interest.
I think that was always good. Bound to happen because first question I asked when I heard about CDK was, how are you guys going to make money? Because
they're actually making money. The interesting thing is because they are getting it directly from the brand themselves. They're getting it directly from Samsung, from Ayatamoku. They're not going through any middlemen. So those people give them at the same factory price they give to warehouses. You get so they can still make their own money, and it will still be cheaper than what you find in most marketplaces.
Okay, there's that. So that means the suppliers are also probably doing a buy now pay later for them. So it's like buy now pay later end to end.
Because one thing I find interesting about this particular market is that maybe I'm dreaming, but I'm looking forward to a time where the credit lifestyle of Africans will improve, right? To have a credit.
Yeah.
But you know, in more developed economies now that actually have a more advanced credit culture.
Mm-hmm.
Some research are now coming up that this buy now pay later thing is making people try to purchase things they can't afford.
Is that not what led to the economic crash?
Yes.
Although that was the housing, 2008, yeah.
Yeah, so housing. You are earning 70,000 and you're buying an iPhone of 500,000 and you're using buy now pay later. When will you finish paying it?
Eventually.
But most of them are giving you a 12-month tenure.
Even if you're on a 12-month tenure.
Yeah.
The difference in developed countries, because they have a credit system, you get your... From the first month of your payment, you get your... You get what you're trying to buy.
Yeah, but...
Of which way, that's what some of the ones, the buy now, even the so-called are doing. But CDK is just approaching it in a different way.
Because I think
the approach is safe.
Yeah, it's safe at the scale they are at. The moment they grow to like 10,000 customers, how many people do you want to be chasing every day? It now becomes a problem.
But with this model they are running, they will tend to have returning customers, right? Yeah. Many returning customers.
Yeah, I've bought a lot. Like you said, your kitchen is full of products that you put from there.
And I'm proud to an extent of myself. I don't know the kind of eye that gives me. Like I have a credit history that, and I'm not defaulting. And I'm proud of myself that I'm owning stuff. If it were left to me, I can't be saving up to be buying those
things. All of that, yeah. Right. But then in Nigeria, my problem is you're preaching in Nigeria, and this is not being pessimistic, sure. But you're operating in Nigeria where the average income of a Nigerian is 43K a month.
Mm.
And at that rate, I think there's just only so much you can do. And startups are set up to scale as fast as possible. So except you want to play at the level of just any other business, I don't think you can do that as a startup and really scale very fast. Because the problem is people need to be able to afford what you're selling to them. And if people can't afford it, then there's just nothing you can do. As long as we have most people with very low salaries and very, very low earning power, I don't see how fast these guys can scale, because it's one of the reasons why it looks like e-commerce, B2C e-commerce in Africa or in Nigeria is not moving as well as it should. Because I mean, this is 2022.
Mm.
The first e-commerce guys came here around 2011, 2012. And less than 10 years, they are struggling to stay alive. So if people are poor, and the thing is that at least for the past 7 years, Nigerians have been getting progressively poorer. And
very true.
It becomes difficult to see. I need to understand what the investors are seeing for
there's
the start.
A problem. So I think we should link to that echo of building a product for the African market. There's always, as long as there's problem, right? Mm-hmm. There will always be the hope that there will be a solution to it.
Yeah.
I mean, and hope is not a strategy now.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. So they try. when they get to a point, I feel like this doesn't work. Then look at it this way, right?
This buy now pay later feature, right? Yeah. It might be like they're trying to make it look like e-commerce can become nice and sexy again, right? But this is a model that the smaller businesses are already operating. My mom has a tailoring shop. She supplies clothes to a market in Lagos here, and she doesn't pay for the material she uses to sew before. She first of all buys them, gives it to her on credit, and after she sews and supplies, she pays them, she collects another one. Most shops are run like that. Small different
even the ones collecting the clothes, you have to wait till they sell it before you get your money.
Then, like CDK, for instance, small companies are doing buy now, pay later, running cooperative societies, doing a job. It's not new.
I remember even like 12, 13 years ago, a friend of mine was planning to move out, and then he had already seen the TV he wanted. Like, this is like a year before. So he would just go every month, pay them, they should reserve the TV for him. And then when it was done, they gave him the TV. So it's not a new, they're just branding it and making it.
I mean, nice. Just slapping tech on top of it.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I think the whole issue with B2C commerce, I think it's a big issue, right? The guys that started the whole thing, which is Jumia and Konga, they are still struggling to have B2C e-commerce. I mean, yesterday, Jumia stocks fell to a whole new level of low that it hasn't experienced for one year.
Yeah, I saw tweets. It's crazy.
Yeah, so their 2021 report, they did well on the surface, right?
Yeah.
Orders increased, revenue increased, a lot of things increased, but their losses also increased.
Because they're spending
on advertising. They used... Yeah, I don't know if...
Market is hard.
If you go to YouTube... Yeah, in November, you will start seeing Jumia Black Friday.
Even before then, like every single day, you see ads.
Yeah, so, but before this whole aggressive push started, Jumia was saying, let's push towards profitability. We want to become profitable after almost
and you
a
were
decade.
Hoping, you were rooting
I
for
was
them.
Rooting for them.
I bought stock in Jumia.
I was rooting for them. Yes, this is going to work. I mean, almost a decade of building warehouses.
Just a quick question. Do you still have your stock? Like,
I've forgotten my password to my Bamboo or Chaka account. I forgot.
That can be a good thing and a bad thing. It can be a good thing because Jumia might rise from the ashes.
Yeah.
And then, it could be a bad thing.
Okay, so I should go and buy the dip now.
Advice. This is not a professional advice.
Yes, don't take advice. This is not financial advice, please.
Yes. So, yeah, but I find it quite weird that either strategy didn't seem to work, right? When they were pushing towards profitability, they cut down considerably on sales and advertising. They said they are not going to push electronics too much again. They want to do FMCGs, right?
Yeah.
Your pig milk, your normal groceries. They wanted to, because it's fast moving, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They wanted to focus on that, gain more orders, and start being profitable. But what happened was revenue dropped.
Because those ones are low margin products.
Low margin.
Yeah.
They are low margin. You have to do huge numbers.
Yeah. So revenue dropped, of course the losses also dropped too, but they kept selling it like, oh, we are moving towards profitability, the losses are dropping, but guys, this revenue is also dropping. And when you are saying you are a startup or a growth startup, people want to see one of two things: profit or massive growth, which is not happening. Even with this aggressive push, the growth is okay, but it's still not at the optimal level that we want it to be, right? So the whole thing, and what is causing this, just FYI, what is causing the stock to tank is a lot of people are selling off growth stocks, like stocks that belong to all these tech high growth companies or startups, because there's a policy that the US government wants, they want to tighten their monetary reserves. The Federal Reserve is trying to tighten their monetary policy, and a lot of people are now selling growth stocks. And the easy targets are those ones that they don't really have much confidence in, which is Jumia, for instance. Jumia is like feeling one of the ripple effects of,
I guess, because they are African, quote unquote. To the US.
They're still not convinced. But I find it telling that a company like Amazon have not even tried to get a foothold in Africa.
I know they ship.
They ship.
They do some shipping. But I guess they've done their research and they've seen that the market is not big enough.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
The market is big enough, but they're not profitable. Because
do you think it's big enough? I wouldn't say it's big enough. Is it?
Yeah. I mean, Nigeria is low. Do we have a middle class?
Maybe not Nigeria.
Don't let my Kenyan people hear you.
Who?
Kenyans believe they have a middle class.
Kenyans believe they have a middle class, but us believe that we don't have a middle class here in Nigeria. Oh. And I couldn't argue because
seriously, there's a huge gap between those that are doing well and those that are just barely surviving.
They have mind to believe that they have a middle class.
Yeah, but Amazon was able to succeed in the US because of the massive infrastructure for logistics and everything that was already in place, right? Exactly. Junior riders have to be dealing with potholes.
Yeah. No map. Like, you don't even have maps.
At least you can use WhatsApp live location or something.
Okay, well, there's that.
Landmarks.
And landmarks. Oh, where are you? All those kind of things.
Regulatory issues as well.
So many, many things. So, yeah.
Doing business in Africa is difficult.
It's very, very difficult. It is. But people keep building.
But that's why... I don't know the whole startup model in Africa, right? Trying to replicate.
Yeah, Silicon Valley.
I'm not sure it works. I think it's better to pace yourself.
Yeah.
And figure
focus
out.
Focus on staying alive.
And make sure you're solving your problem.
Yeah.
And making money.
I mean, because as we're talking about, there are many businesses that are still making a killing.
Yes.
In Nigeria. Betting companies, for example, they're just
Jesus.
And this one is controversial, but churches.
Churches,
they are making a killing.
They don't pay tax.
Right, so I guess hope sells. Hope.
Maybe
a startup that sells hope.
Sells hope. If you can package hope and sell,
startup ideas, everyone.
Yeah, if you can, please reach out. We are open for co-founder status.
Hope as a service. Has.
Nice.
Jot things down.
I mean, if you can innovate in any other field, you can innovate in that.
In the hope sector.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting. One more topic we forgot to talk about. I guess it ties into hope, does it? I don't know. Move also raised
some
ridiculous amounts.
Yes, yeah. I think 105 million.
And all they do is just vehicle financing for Uber, just Uber, right?
Well, for now, I think they are Uber's partner in Africa, but they've raised to scale across Southeast Asia, the Middle East.
Oh my! I thought it was within Africa.
No, not just Africa. They are scaling outside Africa. So.
Okay, so this is still going back to what I was saying, right? Looking for growth outside of Africa because there's only so much growth that is possible
in
Africa.
And then when you are VC backed and you are trying to continue to grow, the only next place to go is
outside Africa.
Outside Africa.
Yeah.
So other emerging markets.
Nigeria, Kenya, South Africa and
Egypt.
Egypt.
So, but I don't feel like, again, I would like for us to interview them. I don't feel like, okay, I don't use Uber that often.
Okay.
But the few times I have, I still see cars that I feel like, what's this one doing on Uber? So I feel like there's still a market to conquer here.
Before going outside,
yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe they're like.
It still comes down to the fact that the people that should be using your services
are
poor.
Just say it. I know you are going there.
Yes, I mean, I don't know, but we are poor. No matter how we say it, there's just no nice way to say it. Nigeria is poor. Africa is dead poor. So the problem is, if I'm building a business, I mean, that's the reason why Dangote is quote unquote succeeding, because even he himself is, guy is intense. He's into FMCGs, and no matter what happens, no matter how poor you are going to, you're going to need it. And you also see the sanitization of the Nigerian economy. Everybody is doing it. You've gone from seeing big soft gala to small strong gala. It's Nigeria doing things to you. So when you realize that, if let's just say I want to use Uber regularly, okay, I don't use Uber, so I don't know their rates. I use Bolt most of the time. And yesterday a journey that was going to last for like 45 minutes cost about 3.6 on Bolt. if I do that twice in a day, that's about 7,000 naira. And we just said that the average income for in Nigeria is 43,000 naira. Do the math. In a week, you are done with your salary.
Yeah.
And you've not spoken about accommodation, which we are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You've not spoken about food. And funny enough, in Nigeria, I think the average Nigerian spends around 57 to 60% of their income on food.
On food, yeah.
So you're competing with food. Yeah. That's also one of the problems that health tech startups face. Yeah.
Have you heard of the jollof rice test?
Keeping your product top of mind.
Yeah, the jollof rice test, like food. You're competing with food.
So, I mean, okay, look at health tech, which ideally should have blown up in Africa, where we have very, very little number of doctors. Forget all the things that we say. We have a little number of doctors, at least based on the WHO standard. I can't remember exactly the ratio of doctors to the population, but we don't have up to that.
Mm-hmm.
So that means we have less doctors, but every day our doctors are going out. So ideally, a health tech startup would have thrived in Africa on paper.
Yeah.
But then you have a situation where I am sick, but I won't go to the hospital until I am sure that I'm about to die.
Because
it's the money.
Yeah, you're about to pay. Yeah. I know people usually say that religion is a problem, and to an extent, I agree. But I think the bigger problem is one, we've been socialized that if you're sick, just go to the nearest pharmacy. If you feel you have malaria, you get drugs for malaria. If you feel you have typhoid, you get drugs for typhoid. But then not all of us are suffering from typhoid and malaria.
Yeah.
So I assume that a lot of your self-diagnosis will be wrong.
Mm.
And if you're not going to the hospital simply because you don't have the money,
mm-hmm.
are you now going to have enough money to now pay for both?
That place you went to, I'm calculating how much you would spend if you took regular transport.
Okay, if I took regular transport, that would have cost...
100. Even for 3,000,
you're not spending more than 500 naira.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
For public transport. Some people still spend a lot of their money on even public transport. A bulk of their money on public transport.
So reminds me of a woman that was telling her she was in labor. Then she ordered, I don't know, maybe Subaru or boat, and was showing them a ridiculous amount. He told the husband, "Let's go and enter bus."
No. What happened was she was in labor. The ordered hospital is in Lotos, outside Lagos.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Then they got to beggar. Driver said he's not going again until they pay about 5,000 or more. They said, no, let's enter Danfo. No. She was knocking inside Danfo.
That's great. Now, that's she could crazy. Have lost either her life
exactly
or the child,
yeah.
in that on that trip. It's probably one of the reasons why I am rooting for guys like Trips. I kind of hope that they can take away the stress from public transport and hopefully take away the costs. Because if I can enter a comfortable bus with 6 or 7 other people, I think I would choose that over Bolt. And let's say pay about a third of that amount. So I think I'll take a bus. But funny enough, they've expanded to Canada and Kenya, and I mean, you still have Lagos here. I mean, it's for Lagos.
That's what I keep saying.
I've been in Lagos for the last 4 days, mm-hmm. and I've not seen a Trips bus. Maybe they don't brand their buses, but I've not seen a bus
because you've been
Trips.
On the mainland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think they're mostly on the island.
Well, that's also another problem.
So they didn't bother about the mainland. They just expanded straight to Canada. So it still goes back to what I'm saying.
Yes.
So you're not done with solving the problem in the African market. But then it goes back to what you also said, maybe because...
People are poor.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
I think we have to make money. It's not charity.
I think we are predicting that the next trend now is
hope as a service.
So if you have any ideas,
we'd
like to hear your ideas.
We could help you refine your pitch.
Your pitch, exactly. For a little fee. Eh?
Yes. Of course.
Or you can just come to Pitch Friday and come and pitch it.
Yes.
Then.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Every second Friday of the month. Yeah. Sure. Oh, okay. So anything else?
So he was talking about Trips. He reminded me that Onyeka Akuma stepped down as a chairman of FarmCrowdy.
Yeah.
And it's quite interesting. And we've reached out to him for an interview. We hope he responds. Let him tell us the lessons he learned in that. We didn't talk about that, but the agricultural industry. trying to solve the problems.
Agritech.
So it's focused on trips now.
It's focused on trips now.
Left from Crowley. Yeah. All the best to you.
All the best to everyone.
So thanks for listening. We've been talking for almost an hour. Thanks for staying with us if you've come this far. TechPoint Africa podcast is back.
Yeah.
Last time we said we'd keep to the regular schedule, but we changed our mind. So we want to be coming your way twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. You'll be receiving this on Thursday morning and then on Tuesday morning also. Of course, don't forget to subscribe wherever you get podcasts. Search for TechPoint Africa podcast. Where?
Google podcast, Spotify, Apple.
iHeartRadio,
yes. Yeah. So anywhere you get podcasts. We'll put links to all the articles and everything we mentioned so that you can check them out. So till we come your way on Tuesday, have a good weekend and bye.
Bye.